In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. This weekend is kind of a funny one in that it's a bit of liturgical whiplash, because we have Saturday and Sunday are two major feast days of the church. Yesterday was the Feast of the Epiphany, which meant that I had to do a completely different sermon last night. Actually, it wasn't that different, but... And then today we have the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. And this starts off the season of Epiphany. Now, Epiphany is a word that sometimes gets used in our regular language. It's a word of Greek origin. It means, to take a page out of Franklin's playbook from last week and use the dictionary definitions, an epiphany is an experience of sudden and striking realization. Epiphany is like that aha moment, that, oh, that. Now, most of these moments of epiphany that I can really recall are things like that happen to you when you're a child, these times you come to realize something about the world. You know, it's kind of like when a kid figures out that each letter has a sound. And so, you know, they look and they see C, K, A, A, T, T. And then they go, K, A, T, K, A, T, K, cat! It says cat! And then there was a great epiphany moment one of my friends who grew up in New York told me about, that when he was a child, he remembers the first time realizing that all the other baseball teams in the country do not just exist to come to New York to play the Yankees, which has to be about the most East Coast epiphany I have ever heard. Now, the word epiphany has some early origins. It originally meant, in an early usage, some sort of divine revelation. The ancient Greeks, in their idea of a pantheon, multiple gods, understood or believed epiphanies, these aha moments, weren't just things that happened in our heads, but it's that one of the gods might have been telling them something. And that idea translated itself into Christianity. And in Christianity, the epiphany is the realization that Jesus Christ is a divine being. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or God incarnate. Now, yesterday, as I mentioned, was the Feast of the Epiphany. And it is the start of this season, a season in which we will hear stories of Christ revealing God through the person of Jesus. Now, traditionally, the Feast of Epiphany is remembering that point where the wise men came to visit Jesus. Now, you notice our nativity scene over here. A few weeks ago, the wise men were back there, and a little like an early version of Elf on the Shelf, it just kind of moves up. Until finally, the wise men magically, or maybe the altar guild, who knows, make it to the nativity scene. Now, this feast was actually kind of a funny thing in origin because it was kind of a compromise holiday. The Orthodox in the East celebrate January 6th as Christmas. And we in the West, of course, celebrate Christmas on December 25th. So we in the West decided, well, we'll kind of create a compromise day and do a mini Christmas a few days later, 13 days later, kind of give a nod to our fellow Christians in the East. Now, we start off this season on this Sunday remembering the story of Christ being manifested at the Jordan River. Mark's gospel that we just heard gives a very brief account, a little brief background of John the Baptizer, and then plunges us, no pun intended, into Jesus' baptism. And it's followed then, after this great epiphany, it's followed by the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But this epiphany that happens is interesting because it really happens first to Jesus in Mark's gospel, unlike the other ones where the other bystanders hear it. In Mark's gospel, it says, "And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" Now in this very short narrative, there is a lot that is packed into it. There's a lot that we can talk about. One thing that is a good thing to talk about in this narrative is it tells us a little bit about the importance of baptism itself, the sacrament of baptism. It's laid out both in the Gospel of Mark, but also we hear a little bit about it in our reading from Acts, where St. Paul and Apollos go off and visit some early Christians who were baptized by John, and he says, "Hey, that was great, but now we're going to change up. But baptism's now been changed, and it's about something else." And their understanding now about it being an entry point into the Christian faith, and not just putting aside an old self, but about taking on a new self. It's something new and different than even John was doing. Another thing that we could talk about from this gospel reading is how baptism was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And when we look at ourselves and our own baptism, it's a reflection of how our own baptisms begin our ministries. And how we are all called to a ministry of one form or another by virtue of our baptism. It's an important aspect of this act, and it reminds us that what we're doing here Sunday after Sunday. Because after Jesus was baptized, he went out into the wilderness. And it reminds us that here we are being fed only to go out into the unknown. And being empowered to go out of our comfort zones to serve God. Another important part of this gospel lesson is how the Holy Spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit gets mentioned in all three lessons today. We have in the gospel reading where the Spirit descends on Jesus. We have Paul and Apollos talking about the Spirit. And even in the creation narrative, the word wind in Hebrew is the same word as Spirit. And so we have the Spirit at work in creation. And it's a reminder of how the Spirit continues to move in our lives today and empowering us in those ministries and continuing to reveal God to us in new ways. But the season of Epiphany is, of course, a continuation of the Christmas story. The Christmas story is God coming into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. But in Epiphany, we remember how God's nature is revealed in this person, and particularly how God's nature was revealed by this person in an obscure province, this person of Jesus Christ, someone who was virtually unknown. God did not appear as a prominent or mighty person, and did not appear to a prominent or mighty person, anybody who would you think would be traditionally considered important. But rather, God appeared in a surprising way, as a poor laborer, off in the wilderness. And yet, even so, God was powerfully revealed in that person of Jesus. And God continued from that point on to be powerfully revealed in Jesus through Jesus' own teachings and Jesus' miracles and ultimately in the passion and resurrection and ascension. But back at the River Jordan, that was the epiphany that happened at that moment when God was revealed to God's people, giving hope to the world and renewal. So here we are, 2,000 years later. Where is our epiphany? Where is God revealed to us, or how is God revealed to us? Because these are important questions in our time. They're important questions in every time, but especially as we are so far removed from the stories of the Bible and from that time, where and how and what is that epiphany? The author, Georges Bernanos, wrote a novel in 1936 called Diary of a Country Priest. Bernanos was a French author, and he wrote this novel about that chronicles a simple priest in a small French village grappling with his own impending death as he has a diagnosis of stomach cancer. Now, the book is told in a first-person narrative. It's literally a diary, and every day this priest gives an entry about his own illness and the goings-on in the village. But the last chapter is told by a friend of this priest. The friend of this priest happens to have been a priest who was deposed. He was inhibited, not allowed to function as a priest anymore. But this priest friend wrote in the last chapter, it's told in the form of a letter that this friend wrote to the bishop, chronicling the last moments of the country priest, the main character. And this other deposed priest was no longer able to perform the sacraments, but as the protagonist lay dying, he asks his deposed priest friend to give him last rites. Now the friend protests, "I can't do this anymore. I'm not allowed." And the last words of the main character are, "Grace is everywhere. Grace is everywhere." As we look in our time for Christ to be revealed in our lives, we will find Christ. We will find Christ in all kinds of places. As we renew our baptismal vows today, we are reminded that Christ can be found in those whom we serve, that Christ can be found in our varied ministries granted to us by our baptisms. Christ can be found in all kinds of places, even in the silence of our hearts. God, in the person of Jesus, took on flesh, joining God's self with all creation. All creation. And so where can we find God? God is everywhere. Amen.